If you had the threat of death for proclaiming God, and you knew that you would die if you continued, what would you do? Would you continue to preach the gospel? Many of us like to think that we would say yes to continue to preach the gospel, but in the actual situation, this could prove to be very difficult. We see that on the night of Jesus' betrayal and his arrest, or Jesus' arrest and his death, Peter betrayed Jesus three times, proving that in the face of imminent danger, or even death, it can be very difficult. So today I want to look at the life of Paul, because he did exactly this. In the face of death, he continued to preach the gospel. So I want to look at his life and the things that we can take away from it and learn from his mindset. Let's look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 58. This is when Paul, before his conversion, he originally persecuted the church. In verse 58, it says, "When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witness laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul." And if you skip down to Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, it says that Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Paul killed people, the Christians, because of how zealous he was for the Jewish law. We're about to see a big switch with this in Acts chapter 9, verse 2. But Paul was in the mindset of the Jews and that he didn't want the Christians to continue preaching about Jesus. This is why he killed, beat, and imprisoned people. Not only this, but he ravaged the church. He entered into people's houses and took them off to prison. Chapter 9, though, is where we see his conversion to Christianity. In this chapter, Paul was met with a bright light from heaven, and he was told to go into Damascus to be told what to do. When he was in Damascus, he was waiting there for 3 days, and he was praying. He didn't eat or drink for the 3 days. And once Ananias restored his sight, he was baptized, and he immediately began preaching. Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 20. Acts chapter 9, verse 20. It says, "And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is the Son of God.'" This quick 3-day switch from a dedication to Jewish law to a dedication to Jesus is absolutely insane. Paul was met with the most convincing thing he could have been met with, and he decided to let it change him and to begin preaching the gospel. Paul not only preached the gospel, but he also went on 3 missionary journeys. These 3 missionary journeys weren't small either. The first distance was a distance traveled around 1,400 miles. The second one was about 2,800 miles, and the third was around 2,700 miles. That is a combined total of at least 6,900 miles. This demonstrates his insane dedication and faith to the Lord. This was not only a great distance, but also a great deal of time spent teaching the gospel. These missionary journeys weren't in vain, though. They were very successful. He traveled to many cities, converting many people. Let's look at Acts chapter 13, verse 44. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. This says, "The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord." Drop down to verse 49, and it says, "The word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region." Acts chapter 14, verse 1, the next chapter says, "In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both Jews and Greeks." We see in this verse that in these verses that many people, the majorities of cities even, were being converted. The church was seeing major success through Paul and his friends on their missionary journeys through the spread of the gospel. We see Paul's love for God in all of these things. No one would do the things that he did if they didn't have a passion for God. He demonstrates this in all of his actions after his conversions. Now, these missionary journeys weren't easy either. Paul had to suffer persecution and the risk of death for the sake of the Lord. The first thing we see after Paul was converted and saved and he begins preaching is that people already wanted to kill him. Go back to Acts chapter 9, verse 23. Acts chapter 9, verse 23. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted to gather to do away with him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. This is a little bit of foreshadowing, as we know, for the rest of his life. His life was filled with hardship, and it was filled with struggles. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so in far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods and once stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, and dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, though many sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Paul and Silas, on their missionary journeys, as we see in here too, they were imprisoned, they were beaten, they were whipped. What's unique about when they were imprisoned, though, is that they would always be rejoicing. We see that when Paul and Silas were in prison on their second missionary journey, they were praying and singing hymns throughout the night. That night, though, an earthquake happened, and Paul and Silas even converted a guard and his family. While he was imprisoned in different times, he even wrote 4 letters. These are the letters of Colossians, Philemon, Ephesians, and Philippians. He demonstrates his great dedication to the Lord, even to the point of death. He was willing to die for the Lord. The thing that I really want to get to today is the fact that he was willing to suffer and die for the Lord. Let's look at Acts chapter 21, verses 13 through 14. Acts 21, 13 through 14. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing? Weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but to even die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since you would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, 'The will of the Lord has been done.'" We see in this verse that Paul was not only willing, but he was ready to die for the Lord. This requires sacrifices. We may have to give things up that we may want to do in order to preach the gospel, or even lose a life as a sacrifice in order to get the gospel spread for the sake of the gospel. Paul was willing to sacrifice the temporary for the eternal. He saw the goal at the end of the line, which was heaven, and he would do anything to get there. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Then flip over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Paul says here, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul had the mindset of getting to the end and making it to heaven. Do you have that same mindset? As mentioned early, many of us would like to think that in the face of death, we would still proclaim God, but is this really the case? Paul understood that the world we live in is temporary. Nothing here lasts forever. We can sacrifice our finite lives and dedicate them to God in order to receive the infinite reward, which is heaven. As we see, though, Paul and many others faced this persecution and death. Not unlike Paul, we may also face persecution. Maybe in a different form than Paul, but it's definitely there today. Maybe it's in the form of judgment, or maybe people making fun of us for our faith. And although these things aren't fun, these things don't even come close to comparing what Paul went through. And yet we still don't take all the opportunities that we should be. A major thing that we need to remember is that God has our back. If we're living for him, he will take care of us. We don't need to fear or worry about anything. Even our own lives don't matter, because we know that if we lose our lives for the sake of the gospel, we'll be in heaven with God. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Once again I ask, are you willing to die for the Lord? Paul shows us these many examples in his life, such as his example of reaction to persecution and even death itself, and his dedication to the Lord. Are you dedicated to the Lord? Have you taken the steps that are necessary to become a Christian and dedicate yourself to God? As the Bible tells us, you must first believe, John chapter 8, verse 24. Then you must repent, Luke chapter 13, verse 13. Then you must confess, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, and be baptized, Mark chapter 16, verse 16. And after that, you're not done. You have to remain faithful for the rest of your life. If you have not taken these steps to become a Christian, or if you need the prayers of the church, or would like to be restored to the church, you can come forward as we stand and as we sing.